I'm Becca Lewis, and I'm your guide and host for the Shift the Story podcast, where we share tips and tools for making shifts in our lives from the inside out. My guest today is Cynthia Sue Larson. Cynthia's website is Reality Shifters. With a name and a focus like that, you would think we would have found each other years ago. And yet, it was just a few months ago that we discovered that the idea that we can, should, and do shift our realities, and that we have a choice to shift our story, was what we both have been talking about our whole lives. It was exciting for us, and as you listen to Cynthia, I know it will be for you too. Cynthia's background studying physics makes it even more enticing. Okay, I'll stop talking and bring Cynthia on so we can shift the story together. Cynthia, I've been so excited about talking to you once I discovered you, and we have talked about that it's amazing that I didn't know you were there and you didn't know I was here when we both talk about something called reality shifting. And so it's very strange that here we are, we finally found each other in this reality to talk about it. And I know that people are going to want to hear a lot about what you mean by reality shifts, but I'm really curious how you got to that. How did it happen? Maybe just a little brief thing. What is reality shifting and what you mean by quantum jumping or quantum leaping or whichever way you go with that? And then how did that happen? That's the part that we can get people interested in your story and they can go from there.
Well, I think it would take more than 20 minutes, so I'll do the
super
reader's condensed version.
Yes.
Well, basically, long story short, I've had a lifelong fascination with reality and consciousness, and that when I was a child, I was very empathic, loved Star Trek, could really feel for that character of the empath when that show was, I don't know if you know that episode.
Oh, anyway, yes.
So reading science fiction and all that, I was interested in science. And so I sort of was split because I had this tremendous intuitive ability. I could see things that other people didn't really see. I actually was aware when I was a young child that if I thought stop rain, it would actually stop raining. When I tried to demonstrate that to my mother, something changed. That's when I realized it's one thing to experience these things on your own. It can really be different when you bring other people in with their perceptions and their beliefs. So anyway, fast forward into my teens and 20s, and I majored in physics at UC Berkeley, got a degree there, then decided to help scientists who needed to be able to manage what they were doing, because I worked at Space Sciences Laboratory right after doing the physics program at UC Berkeley. So I then pursued a master's degree in business. I'm telling you this so you know I'm really a pretty down-to-earth person.
Yes.
I was on a fast track for vice presidency at Citibank. So I was considered a superstar in the corporate realm. And so it was very unusual for someone like me. What happened next is kind of mind-blowing. What happened next is I felt like I'd been kind of asleep at the wheel in my life. Like I hadn't really been living. Like there was something going on that I was missing out on. I mean, it's one thing to work at a bank and work with information technology, project planning, project management, all that stuff I was doing. But it's quite another thing to realize on a deep level that there's so much more going on. And there was a part of me that felt like time to wake up, time to wake up. And then the next thing, that was the spring of, I guess that was 1994. And then by the fall of that year, I had a massive Kundalini awakening experience. And that shook me to my core. And I think I'd really credit that experience with seeing the world totally differently, just feeling like everything is energy, everything is consciousness, knowing that that's true, because I would know things and see things that there's no way I could possibly be able to know or see. It was just this direct knowingness. So that's the fastest way to sort of zoom through all that. So at that point in time, I had two young children and decided to It took me several years, but finally got the courage to sort of hang up a shingle and publicly announce that I am seeing, basically, I'm seeing things change. I'm seeing, literally seeing things appear, disappear, transform, and transport out of thin air. And I mean, buildings, people, you name it. I've at times witnessed cuts and bruises on myself and my loved ones vanish before my eyes, including I've been able to talk on the phone with a friend who had a broken bone. And as we were talking, she could feel it itching. And the next morning, the doctors could find no trace of any break. So I'm talking that kind of thing. And This is like now, ever since 1994, it's been sort of a daily thing for me. And now I'm kind of used to it, but it has been a long time now. So my daughters grew up with a mom who, you know, could do that thing you do. And so, in other words, a lot of my family members say that, do that thing you do. If something's broken or someone's injured, do that thing you do. And I've explained it to them. Well, it's very simple. You just don't have any tolerance or any allowance for the failure reality, whether it's a dishwasher that broke just a couple months ago at our family Christmas gathering. My sister and I were doing dishes, and she just looked to me and said, do that thing you do. And I keep telling people, we can all do this. It's not just that thing I do. But so it has totally changed my life to have these kinds of experiences. And now what I do for a living is life coaching, and I write books about it. And I've gotten more involved in the physics. For a long time, physics bored me, but now, thank goodness for the quantum age, because now that people are trying to build quantum computers, what I'm noticing seems to be happening is that a lot of the quantum phenomena that we know for sure is happening on the very tiny scale is also happening on every scale. So that explains these teleportations, these appearances, disappearances, transformations, spontaneous remission of disease. And it explains the placebo effect. It explains so many things. So what I'm doing now is writing some scientific papers, getting them published, helping organize conferences like the Foundation of Mind conference, and just kind of walking that delicate knife's edge between, you know, science and spirituality. Because to me, this kind of quantum jumping or shifting works best, of course, when we have the best intentions for all concerned. It should never be something selfish or something just for ourselves to claw our way to the top. Then that's just a big failure. So there we go. That's sort of the high speed. Here I am.
It's high speed, and everything you said made so much sense to me. And that's why I said before we started talking that we could probably talk for days. But I know that not everybody would say that what you're talking about actually works. And I experienced much the same thing. If you tried to explain it to someone else, they have to be in that same place, that willingness place to see that. I just make it into one phrase, what you perceive to be reality magnifies, but it actually means all those things that you just said. And I love that you are so grounded in your background, so someone can't say, oh yeah, it's just one of those airy fairy things, because it obviously is not.
Right.
And for you to experience that at first, it must have been really disconcerting to have those things happen to you immediately. Did you understand why they were happening? Did you understand the concept behind it, or you just knew it was happening, then you discovered it? Or did you discover the concept first and then it happened, or did it all come at the same time?
Those are good questions. And that's why I'm so glad you started by asking about my background and my, you know, starting with my childhood. I think that's where it really began, because, and I talk about this in my book, Reality Shifts, I did have magical thinking, and Piaget and some psychologists put that down. They say, that's a phase, you need to grow out of it. I would vehemently disagree with that. And I would say that the shamans of our planet and most of our Qigong energy masters and many of our alternative doctors, complementary medicine and alternative healthcare, you know, these kinds of people understand that there is something that absolutely elevates us when we recognize that we are not our physical so-called facts and body in this moment that we think we are, but instead our true identity is consciousness. And a lot of master philosophers have said that the things that are simplest to us, we take for granted the most. And in other words, if if you go without eating, you can go quite for weeks. If you go without drinking, you can go for days. If you go without breathing, you can go for minutes. If you go without consciousness, I think that's the key. That's the simplest thing that we take most for granted of all, even more than breathing. We tend to think, like, of course I know who I am. But that's actually, that simple thing is the biggest realization of all. And so that's something that I didn't really have a full grasp of it in. I had a intuitive grasp of that concept as a child, and so I was working with it. But it took until my 30s to integrate all of that, and into my 40s to start bringing the science into it. And here I am in my 50s. So it's been a lifelong journey. And I think it really does help to work with people and work with our culture, because who we think we are is not so much a personal thing. It's also partly social. And a lot of things get reinforced by our society. We're in the biggest Yes. revolution of all time history right now. This quantum age is dawning on us. We know it because the technology is here. You know, the quantum computers. That means scientists are starting to say things that they would have laughed at decades ago. They're now finding that macroscopic quantum phenomena is occurring in warm, wet, noisy environments, like in basically sort of swamp areas where plants are photosynthesizing using quantum mm-hmm. processes. So it's been a long, huge path and journey for me to integrate it all. I kind of knew it right from the start, but I could never have verbalized it or convinced my mother when I was a young girl.
I think we have that in common also. My mother still lives like, what do that thing you do, but whatever it is, I don't want to know it, and I don't like it. I think that it does take a while to go from knowing it intuitively and then being able to integrate it in your whole self. So to me, part of the reason that people don't just say, they listen to you and say, oh, of course I can do that too, is that all of us have such a vested interest in being our human personality, or in the human person and the worldview of who we think we are. And it's hard to let go of that. That seems to be one of the hardest things to do, is to say, I'm more than my physical body, and I'm willing to experience that. And there's more good that happens from in there than could ever possibly happen just holding on to the physical idea of ourselves. Do you think that's true, that's hard for people to do?
In general, yes. And I think the exceptions would be those that have near-death experiences, do a lot of meditation, or mm-hmm. also, what was the other thing? Lucid dreaming can really help. So any of those categories. And I think, I don't know about you, Becca, I'd love to know your story, but for myself, I'm one of those people that you might say I was born aware in a sense. I already knew. I remembered before I was born, and I remembered being in a state of pure consciousness. That is a huge leg up on this whole journey. When that's where you come in and you know that to begin with, and I really knew that, and I haven't really lost that, then all of the rest of this seems kind of like propaganda. So when I hear what Yes. my parents say, and I hear what culture says, and I hear what's the textbooks say, and what scientists of our time say, and all this stuff, to me, it's just propaganda, propaganda, propaganda. Like, that's just what the official story is. But you and I all know the truth. But not everyone comes in knowing that. And I think it's a huge advantage.
It is a huge advantage. No, most people, I think that it's not everyone comes in. I think most people do not come in and know that, and have to or choose not to remember it, however that works. But I do, like you, since I started officially teaching the shift in the beginning of the early 90s, and experienced, like, what are you talking about, from a lot of people. But like you, I've noticed more and more people understanding it right off. So I think that a lot of people are awakening to what they knew before and just couldn't deal with before. There's a lot of awakening going on. There's a lot of what looks like non-awakening, but I think that's also awakening at the same time.
Yes, I agree. And one of the biggest indicators this last year has been this whole arrival of the Berenstain Bears meme, and also the so-called Mandela effect. And I've been talking about people being alive again, you know, for decades. But But for a lot of people, they're just suddenly noticing, wow, Nelson Mandela, he just died a couple of years ago? Because a lot of people remember that he died when he was incarcerated. He was in prison.
I read that and I thought they do. That's what they remember. Wow.
It's actually interesting because any kind of alternate history memory to me is an indication of the evidence that I was mentioning earlier, that a lot of these quantum phenomena, such as superposition of states where a particle could be, you know, having it spin up or it spin down, might be in any location. We don't really know where it is, you know, all that's kind of stuff going on with quantum particles. The same thing can be said to be true on the macroscopic scale. And we know scientists are looking for that sort of very thing because they're looking for a theory of everything, bringing the quantum together with the classical. And the way you get there that I'm noticing is by recognizing that quantum logic is primary in the natural world. And classical logic and classical physics is kind of like the very simple, short bus, easy solution. It's kind of like if everything's super easy and you don't have to think much, that's classical physics. And then quantum is the superset. That's the real world. That's the world we're really in. And so everything, to me, needs to adhere to quantum logic, first of all. And we're still yet to develop a true quantum logic that we're going to need for those quantum computers. Because what we've, and this may be too technical, but it's kind of a kludged together thing is what we've got using Hamiltonian space and von Neumann. Von Neumann was the guy that was saying, let's separate it. Let's just deal with quantum over here for the tiny and classical over there. And it kind of works, but I don't think it really works. And I think some of us, like you and me, know that we need to acknowledge that quantum logic is happening everywhere.
Yeah, and quantum logic and spirituality, to me, are, you can say that they're the same thing, but, and even if you don't say they're the same thing, you have to say that quantum is this ultimate symbol of what spirituality is. So that science concept goes into that whole awakening that people are moving to, that what I guess you could call it, what I, true science, not trying to make it fit. You know, the other thing that I really liked, and I know I just jumped there, but I really like that you said that you can't use this. You said it's not best not to use it except for the good for everyone. And that is, I find that to be one of the key things. If you're not stepping into this awareness for the good for everyone, you actually can't stay there, or other things can happen. So
yeah, we really don't need to go into that. I'm glad both of us agree with that.
So yeah.
I hope people take this very seriously, because that's something I get emails and I just wish people would get this one concept first. Like, just start here.
Yes. Well, if you don't, you can't stay. I mean, it has to be for the good for everyone, because since we're all one consciousness, all one, and in a way, it's like working against yourself. And actually, I think that the human mentality works against itself all the time, which is why it's so great to move out of that and say, I'm more than my physical body. I'm more than what presents itself as human, because then we're not doing that back and forth thing. We just stay in the good place. And I love that you said you don't tolerate the failure reality. I mean, it's so simple. I just love that you said that. Those things seem so, why don't we all just agree? We don't tolerate that. We don't tolerate greed. We don't tolerate those, because then those realities would fade away. They're not realities, but those perceptions would fade away.
Yeah, they're possibilities, and we're just voting against them by just saying, that's not acceptable.
Yes, it's not. I refuse. Standing up for what's right for everyone, and which is what people, the shamans and whoever's been studying this forever, and they might not have called it quantum, but the people who have studied for thousands of years, they all have say the same thing. So you and I aren't saying anything new. We're just saying, look, here it is. This is it. And you're using language of the age that is so perfect. I love that you went to school and had physics. So people say, oh, she understands it. And they can't argue with you about what it actually means.
I get a lot of arguments anyway, because I've got a YouTube channel, and there's a lot of public discourse and dialogue on YouTube these days. And it's interesting, because that's where I see where people are at, where sort of the, you know, there's a huge spectrum, of course. People that listen to your show are very respectful, very curious, very thoughtful. But I think there are some people who are threatened by everything that you're talking about and that I'm talking about, and their first knee-jerk reaction is to just poo-poo it, say this is woo-woo, that this is a misappropriation of terms like quantum jump, because I've got a book called Quantum Jumps. But I really don't feel it's a misappropriation whatsoever. It's dead on. You know, this is absolutely happening at every level.
It is. Yes. I do think that part of that pushback is people, the fear that you're taking away something important instead of giving them the most wonderful possibilities ever. So when we first started, before we started recording, I said I could probably talk to you for days. But now that we're getting to the end of this very short interview, I want people to be able to find you. So I will put all the information to find you in your books in the show notes. But in case someone's going to jump on their computer right now as they're listening and do it, where would you like them to go first?
Go to my website, which is realityshifters.com. It's all one big word, realityshifters.com. And it's the source of, that's a place you can get information about my newsletter that I've published monthly since 1999. It's hundreds of issues. I've got a radio show now. That's all free. And if you're interested in getting the meditation CD or the books, those are available autographed through my website. And there are links to Amazon. And also I do life coaching. So everything goes through realityshifters.com. That's also the best way to contact me. So go there.
Perfect. I just heard another link to you and I, because I started writing mine in 1999 too. So that's funny. All right. So I have one last question I ask everyone. So here it is. What is the one piece of advice you would give anyone else in the midst of changing a life story?
Oh, yeah, this is my catchphrase. This is a question that I recommend everybody ask, no matter how good, no matter how bad, no matter what's happening. The best way to focus your attention in any situation that I would recommend is to ask, how good can it get? And recognize things can always get better. So even if there's a battle between good and evil, the whole playing field can get brighter, lighter, and better. We're raising consciousness for all of us. And some people say there's no battle, whatever, but we're just going to make it better and better and better. So you can absolutely get to a level of goodness far beyond anything that any of us can even imagine. So let's just keep taking it higher and elevating all of ourselves.
I love it. I love it. That I would say that too. How good can it get? I love that. So, and that is what we're doing. And thank you for helping to raise that level of consciousness so it can get better and better. I really appreciate getting to talk to you. Thank you, Cynthia.
Thank you, Becca.
I know that after listening to Cynthia, you are going to want to explore more about what she was talking about. So head over to theshift.com/podcast or theshift.com/Cynthia Sue Larson to find all the links. If you have a moment, please let us hear from you. And if you would like to rate us on iTunes, there is a direct link in the show notes. Let's agree that as good as it may be, it is not as good as it gets, especially when we shift the story together.